Sonia Pernell is a biographer and political commentator who's worked at Britain's The Economist, The Telegraph, and The Daily Mail. Her first book, Just Boris, A Tale of Blonde Ambition, is a widely acclaimed portrait of London Mayor Boris Johnson. Now Sonia turns her attention to Clementine Churchill, the extraordinary woman who stood by Winston's side for 57 turbulent years. Let's speak to her now about her new biography, Clementine, The Life of Mrs. Winston Churchill. Welcome, Sonia, and thanks for joining us on The Book Report.
It's a great pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
How did you first become interested in Clementine Churchill?
Well, I just suddenly thought, there was this great titan of history, Winston Churchill, but who was this man? Who was around him? Who was important to him? And then I stumbled across this letter that she sent him in 1940, just after he became Prime Minister. And it's an extraordinary letter. I know that she tore it up once and then she wrote it again and then she sent it down the corridor to him. It's affectionate, but it's very forthright. And she's telling him, I mean, this was a time when Britain was on its own. We thought we were about to be invaded. It looked like we had no chance whatsoever. We were fighting for our survival. And she wrote in this letter that even in this extreme times, you must remember to be kind and to be calm with your staff, not to be overbearing or rude with them, because you want them to want to follow you, to come up with ideas, to do anything for you, to be devoted to you, to love you. It's even more important in wartime than any other time. So just remember this. And it's an extraordinary letter, and I wanted to know more about her and whether he'd listened to her. There's no reply to the letter, but if you look at the diaries of his staff at that time, he changed. He stopped just barking at people. Or if he did, he would remember to put his arm around them afterwards and say, I don't mean to be fierce. I just mean to be fierce with one man, and that's Hitler. And it had a sort of almost mesmeric effect on his staff. They did fall in love with him, and he did become this sort of leader that really Britain absolutely had to have at that point. We had nothing else apart from his courage and his leadership.
You know, the role of British prime ministers' wives is so different from that of our American first ladies. Do you believe that will change in the future?
Well, ironically, I don't think it will, because I think since Clementine's day, it's actually gone backwards. I mean, she was involved in every single aspect of government. She was obviously unelected, but she knew that at such an extreme time, you had to just do whatever it took to win the war and to help her husband do so. Since then, actually, I've had a really good look at prime ministers' wives since then, indeed one husband, and they've tended to make a point of not getting involved. And the current Prime Minister's wife, Samantha Cameron, said during the recent election, I never get involved, let alone interfere in government business. So it's almost as if first ladies have withdrawn from government, whereas Clementine was involved in everything that went on in cabinet, everything that went on in summits with President Roosevelt or Stalin or de Gaulle. She was right there advising Winston. They were a team, a political team.
Both Winston and Clementine came from backgrounds of social privilege, but disastrous emotional deprivation. Will you speak about Churchill's mother, Jenny, and Clementine's mother, Blanche?
Well, both of them were ladies who liked to have lots of boyfriends. They were rather busy with their gentlemen callers and not so interested in their children. Both of them were well known for having an extremely active love life. And both of them, I think, just sort of considered childcare to be quite dull. They weren't really into it. With Clementine, Lady Blanche was more interested in her elder sister, Kitty, and made no effort whatsoever to disguise the fact that she much preferred Kitty, who she thought more fun and prettier when the two girls were young. And in Winston's case, his mother was just busy doing stuff and being popular and taking lovers, as I said, and his father was also not interested. So they'd both really been neglected during their childhood. Winston had never been short of money at that point. Clementine's mother, who was divorced, was very short of money, and sometimes there was no food on the table. So these backgrounds made them both insecure people, and they found great comfort in each other. And I think that understanding was part of why that marriage lasted for so long through such turbulence.
I was surprised to learn that Winston actually courted and proposed to Ethel Barrymore, who broke off that affair.
Ethel did. I think it was clear that they didn't really share anything in common. I mean, even back then, Churchill was obsessed with politics and great affairs of state, and Ethel made this terrible mistake of accidentally praising one of his deadliest political foes. Well, it was quite clear she hadn't really been paying sufficient attention, and so Churchill wasn't interested, really, in anything much else. There would have been no other conversation. It wasn't until he met Clementine, who loved those things as much as he did, that he finally met his soulmate and his life partner.
We're speaking with Sonia Purnell on The Book Report. Where and when did they meet?
Well, they met in 1904 at a ball. A wealthy aunt had bought Clementine a lovely ball gown. Until then, she'd made most of her own clothes herself. She was stunning, absolutely stunning. She had the most gorgeous sapphire blue eyes. She was willowy. She was slender. Churchill arrived at the ball and saw her, asked to be introduced to her. And then, as I said, he didn't have any small talk. He just stood and stared. This great orator had nothing to say. He was literally struck dumb by her beauty. Well, she thought he was a bit strange and sort of wandered off. And they didn't meet again for 4 years, when they were accidentally placed side by side at a dinner party that neither of them had wanted to go to. So it was a pure accident. Very nearly didn't happen. And that night, they didn't stop talking to each other. It was just chat, chat, chat. They just found everything in each other utterly fascinating. And within 4 months, they were married.
Talk about Clementine's relationship with Eleanor Roosevelt.
Well, that's fascinating, and it hasn't really been explored before. They were two very different women, although they both came from sort of aristocratic, quite privileged families. You know, Clementine's family, her grandfather was an earl. It just, there'd been no money coming down to her mother, which is why she's had an impoverished childhood herself. But her family was a very grand one, just like the Roosevelts were over here. And when they met, they looked very different. I mean, Clementine was always immaculate, perfectly groomed, very beautiful. And Roosevelt, less groomed, less sort of conscious of how she looked. But she had this wonderful outgoing manner with people. She could talk to anyone. She could broadcast. She could hold press conferences by herself. And Clementine was really sort of inspired by watching Eleanor Roosevelt when she came on a tour of Britain in the end of 1942, and learned a great deal, and started pushing herself forward, realizing she could do great things by being more of a public figure in her own right. And indeed, she gave her very first solo press conference, very much under the influence of Eleanor Roosevelt, right here in D.C., and was a great success. And people noticed that there was a similarity in style. But it wasn't just that. Those two women also papered over the cracks when they appeared in the Anglo-American alliance. Sometimes Churchill and FDR had very different ideas about things, and there would be tension. And then those two women tried to kind of bring things back together again. So they played a crucial role, and we shouldn't ever forget that.
You know, I loved learning so much about her. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Bye now.